Okay, bus bench babes, we have all been waiting for this first gen homebuyer loan program to come out. It has been long awaited, and we are just moments away from it officially launching here in Minnesota. And there are programs like this around the country too, but we have one of the experts from the state here to break down all the details. Let's dive in.
You're listening to the Girl Get Your Face Off a Bus Bench podcast, where we invite you to check your ego at the app, grab a cup of coffee, and get ready to dive into all things real estate marketing, social media, friendship, hardship, love, money mindset, and all the things that celebrate you as a badass boss babe.
We're here to encourage you, show up for you, give you a loving kick in the pants when you need it most, and be your soft place to land on the hardest of days. So pull up a seat at our table and get ready to be inspired and start living your best life by design.
Welcome to the Girl Get Your Face Off a Bus Bench podcast. We are so excited you're here.
Okay, girls, let's dive in. All right, Bus Bench babes, I have a treat for you today. I have Heidi Welch, just like the grape juice. It'll be easy for you to remember. She is with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, lovingly referred to as Minnesota Housing. And we're going to talk all about the first generation home buyer loan program because it is all the buzz if you've been paying attention. So before we dive in, Heidi's going to do a little like disclosure. We just need to keep her legal department happy, and then we're going to dig into all the details.
Perfect.
So welcome, Heidi.
Thank you so much.
So excited to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. So I just, yes, as mentioned, need to read my legal disclosure. So in connection with single family division loan programs, Minnesota Housing does not make or arrange loans. It is neither an originator nor creditor and is not affiliated with any lender. The terms of any mortgage finance transactions conducted in connection with these programs, including important information such as loan fees, the annual percentage rate, repayment conditions, disclosures, and any other materials which are required to be provided to the consumer, are the responsibility of the lender.
Now let's talk about the fun stuff.
Yes, let's.
Totally makes sense. We have to cover your butt. Well, so Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here, and we can like ask you all the questions about this program because I don't know enough about it, and I need to know more. So
absolutely.
let's educate everybody.
All right.
So Heidi, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I work at the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, or as we affectionately call it, Minnesota Housing. I am a supervisor there. I supervise our business relations team. I've been there for 11 years. Prior to that, I was actually a loan officer for 10 years and worked almost exclusively with the various different types of down payment assistance and closing cost loans and first-time buyers. So it was a really great natural transition for me to work at the agency, and now I'm working with those same programs, but just on kind of the other side of things. And so,
yeah. Well, so how did it all evolve? Like your role within Minnesota Housing? So like what made you transition to a state job from?
Sure. That's a great question.
A loan officer.
So I have two kids, or my husband and I have two kids. One is currently a senior and one is a freshman in high school. Freshman in college. When I started at the agency, obviously 11 years ago, they were
little,
much younger.
Yeah.
Yes. And the life of a loan officer, while I love it very, very much.
24/7, like the life of a realtor.
24/7, oh, just like an agent. Correct.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a life balance decision for me.
Yeah.
Really wanted to stay connected with housing, with helping people, with, you know, all the important pieces of the work that we do. But also wanted to have my weekends and my evenings and be able to do the things with my small children. So
totally makes sense.
Yep.
Totally makes sense. And then you probably get holidays off and all of that.
Do.
And you have awesome benefits.
It was a win-win all the way around. So.
My husband used to work for in law enforcement. And so I'm really, really missing our awesome insurance that we had with the state. Like, dang it. Oh, well, so the main reason why we wanted to have you guys on, or have you on, one of our favorite lenders, Connor Hesch, said, I just met the whole team from the state talking about this new program, the first generation home buyer program. And he's like, I need to connect you guys. And I'm so thankful that he connected us so
Me
we could
too.
Like hear it straight from the source.
Yeah.
So this program, this first gen loan program, it's been long awaited. It has taken longer to roll out. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So let's start with, first, I just want to explain that. This particular funding source was an appropriation from the 2023 legislative session.
Okay.
And within that session, the legislators designated $50 million to go to Minnesota Housing, so where I work.
Right.
And then an additional $100 million that is going to another housing organization, their community development corporation in Minnesota. And so the two programs are specifically designated and were called out in legislature to assist first generation home buyers. So that's where the money came from.
Okay.
That's kind of, you know, obviously we couldn't create the program without the money. So,
right.
So I do want to point out that there are two separate programs here specifically from this funding source.
Okay.
I think a lot of people get confused and don't understand that there are two different programs. And so one of them may be a great fit for you and one might not be as good of a fit, or maybe they both work for you and, you know, you can have that choice to choose which one makes the most sense for you, because we do have some different parameters and some different things built into how it's structured, how things happen with it, essentially. So, but that's where having that conversation with your loan officer is really important, because they can explain, okay, there's these two programs. Here's this one. Here's the other one. Here's the pros and cons of, you know, either or both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, as the borrower, can make that decision as to which makes the most sense for you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and this is where a really awesome loan officer that really knows their stuff is going to be key.
Absolutely.
We say this all the time.
Yep.
But there are some that just are going to scratch the surface on programs like this, and other mm-hmm. ones that are really going to know all the nuances of it and how it really can benefit the consumer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, like, let's talk about what the program is. Can you help break it down for us?
Yes. So it's available statewide. So all of our programs that Minnesota, so this is not the only program that Minnesota Housing offers. We have other first-time homebuyer programs and other existing down payment assistance and closing cost loan programs available as well. This is kind of more of a, you know, we got $50 dedicated specifically to the first generation homebuyer. So this would be a limited time kind mm-hmm. of a program,
because like when the money runs out,
the money's gone, there's no guarantee we're going to get, you know, additional funds.
Yeah.
But that said, we do
have $50 million has a lot of
exactly.
It's a lot of money.
Yep. And we're anticipating that we'll be able to assist probably roughly 1,500 households with that $50 million. So
that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super exciting.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So, like, what are the nuances of it?
Yeah.
Like, how, like, what does first gen exactly mean?
Yep. So, absolutely. Let's talk about the definition. So, and again, this was given to us from that state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was a directive, you
right.
know, that this is the definition. So,
okay.
And the definition is that the borrower, or borrowers, if you have multiple borrowers, first of all, for the Minnesota Housing First Generation Program, all the borrowers need to be first-time buyers.
Okay.
And then beyond that, at least one of the borrowers needs to meet the first-generation home buyer definition. And that is that the borrower has either never owned a home, like ever in any country,
mm-hmm.
or they did own a home, but they lost it due to foreclosure, and they have not purchased another home since. So if the borrower meets that, at least one borrower. So if you have two borrowers, both of them don't have to meet that, but at least
okay.
one of them does. So assuming that one of them does, Then we're going to the next generation and we're looking at the borrower's parents, the borrower who is the first gen borrower. Then we're looking at the parents and applying that same definition.
Okay.
So it's the parents.
Two layers deep. Yeah.
Yep. It's two layers deep. So have the parents of the borrower either never owned a home in any country or they lost a home due to foreclosure and they have not purchased another home since. If that is the case, then they would meet our definition of the first generation home buyer, and then that would be an opportunity to consider using the first generation home buyer loan program.
Cool. Are there income limitations to it, all of that sort of thing?
There are income limitations. They're pretty generous.
A lot of times are pretty generous.
They're pretty generous, yeah. Actually. So our first generation home buyer loan has to be used in conjunction with our first time home buyer first mortgage program, which we call it our startup loan, but that's the underlying first mortgage that needs to be used. And the income limits for a 1 to 2 household in the metro are like $124,200.
That just it opens it up for a lot of people to qualify for that.
So it, and I, you know, maybe I'm off by $100. I don't have all those numbers exactly memorized, but I'm in the ballpark.
Right.
So and I'm pretty sure I'm right. But
yeah, I love that.
But that's where your lender again can help you figure out those pieces.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so like when they put this into place, did legislature talk about like what was like the whole goal of this?
Yes, absolutely. Before we get to the goal, can I just give a couple more pieces?
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah.
Detail like about the first gen program. So it is an interest-free loan and it is a deferred loan. So what that means to you in kind of plain language is that you are making no payments and that money is not building up interest on it. And it's up to $35,000 in assistance that's available to you.
That could be used for down payment or closing costs.
Correct.
Or however, buying a rate down. Can it be used for
any? It cannot be used to buy rates down. The way our program is structured, we do have kind of our permanent rates. There is an option to pay 1 point and get a little bit lower rate, but it can't be used for additional points to get a lower rate beyond that.
$35,000 goes a long way.
Right.
Yeah, it's
so it can be used to cover all the closing costs, and it can be used for down payment, and it can be used for additional down payment. So, you know, some loans like an FHA loan has a 3.5% minimum down payment.
Right.
Maybe you can put 10% down and save some additional monthly cost on your housing payment. Right. So that's an eligible use of the funds. There is a forgiveness factor built into it. Mm-hmm. So it is a 20-year loan. And please understand that this is a loan. It's not a gift. It's not a grant. It is a loan. And it is a 20-year loan. So again, as I mentioned, there's no interest. There's no payments. Mm-hmm. But it is a loan. So it's out there against the title of the property as money that is due. Now, the way the forgiveness factor works is that if you live in the property for 10 years, then 50% of the original amount that you borrowed is forgiven. So let's make the numbers easy. Borrow $30,000, live there for 10 years as your owner-occupant primary residence. At year 10, on the anniversary of your closing date, then that $30,000 now is down to $15,000 that is still remaining on the outstanding loan. If you live there an additional 10 years, so it's the 20 years, then on the anniversary of that 20-year date, then the second half remaining would be forgiven at that point. So that's when the full loan would go away, is at that 20-year point.
It's pretty incredible terms.
It is.
Awesome.
I mean, it's a commitment because you have to go into it thinking, okay, I am going to live in this property for 20 years.
Right.
But the other piece of it is that even, because we all know life happens, right?
Right.
So something happens, you have to move, you need a bigger house, you need a smaller house, whatever the case may be, you need to move to another state, whatever. If you've lived there at least 10 years, you're still going to get essentially, you know, 50% of what you borrowed to get into the house forgiven. So it's a way to hopefully get people into housing. And for those that are able to and plan to live there the full 20 years, then there is that full forgiveness factor. And it's just, you know, it's great. But the owner occupancy requirement is for the entire 20 years. So if you, yeah, if you sell the house, you're going to have to pay it back.
Right.
Or wherever you are in that 20 year time frame, maybe you don't have to pay it all back, but right, you'd have to pay at least some of it back.
But we if look you, about like in the last 4 years, homes have gone up 40% in right, value. So like there also would be that chance that if life happened and you had to sell before that 10-year or 20-year mark, there's still a good chance that you could walk away at the closing right, table and still have money because you've been paying down your mortgage all yeah, along. Appreciation's happened. Maybe you put some money into the property to fix it up and finish the basement or something like that. So there's still a good chance that you then would still potentially have equity to put into your next property.
Yeah. Even after so you awesome, paid it back, if correct, you had to pay some of it correct, back. So absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, that's
and great, it might be the difference between buying in the first place at that time, at this point in time now.
Right.
As opposed to having to wait, right?
Right.
So yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like what was the original goal of this program?
So the goal really is so Minnesota, the state of Minnesota, we are one of the worst states in the country for the housing disparity. So in other
words,
we've
talked about that on other podcasts, yeah, like what a shame those numbers are when we're so progressive in so many other areas.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really sad. You know, we have a much, much, much higher rate of white homeownership in this right, state, as opposed to black and brown and people of color.
Right.
And so one of the real goals of this program is to try and reach those underserved populations, those black and brown and people of color populations who have not had the opportunity mm-hmm, to have ownership in a home, and to then start building that generational wealth and to be able to pass that generational wealth on or take advantage of building equity. And so really trying to reach the communities that have, you know, traditionally not been served in a way that they should be.
That's really fabulous. Yeah, I totally forgot. I don't have those stats off the top of my head, but we had Sam Leverson, who is an Edina Realty agent, on the podcast, probably year one. We're on our third year, and we talked all about that, and those numbers they're really disheartening.
Oh, they're
so how
awful,
awesome to have this program to hopefully turn some of that around.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So where does Minnesota Housing stack up with like other various programs that you offer?
So Minnesota Housing is the finance agency for the state of Minnesota. We've yep, been around since 1971. Mentioned earlier, you know, First Gen is not the first and only program that we've ever had. It won't be the last. We yeah, have longstanding programs that are available now and always for first-time buyers, for non-first-time buyers, for refinances. And with all of those, we have down payment and closing cost assistance loan options as well. That said, across the entire country, there are almost every state, I don't think every single state, but almost every state has some type of a housing finance organization as okay, well. And most of them also are kind of trying to do the same things that we're doing. They're trying to reach people. They're trying to provide down payment assistance, but it comes in many different shapes and forms. Some of them have first-generation homebuyer programs that are already active or, you know, coming online soon. Some of them have some that are in the works, and they might be coming down the road. But if you're in Minnesota, you know, check out our website, and I can give you the web address. It's just mnhousing.gov, so G-O-V.
Super easy. Yeah.
Right? And if you're in another state, just start Googling housing agencies right, in my state. And I, you know, if you're not aware that there are programs out there, I think that's one of the challenges that we all face. Mm-hmm. But there probably are.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's just like knowing where to go yes, to look for it.
Yep.
And again, like that circles back to like having an incredible loan officer.
Yes, it does.
That tells you, the buyer or the consumer, about it before you even have to do the old Google thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, there's so many programs out there, and like I've heard loan officers say, like, yeah, the city of so-and-so has money in their funds left. Why is there money left on the table in some of these funds that the government specifically wants to help people use up and create home ownership for? Like, what is your take on that?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that come into play. Number one, probably being what we were just talking about. People just don't know they're there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't really ask for something that you don't know is there.
True.
Right? So, again, going back to that, yeah, let's make sure I'm working with a loan officer who really knows all these programs.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't know the program, but they're willing to do the research, or they're willing to figure out if there is a program.
Yeah.
And if it's something that I can access. A lot of these programs will allow layering. So in other words,
I've heard that too. Yeah. So describe what that is.
Yeah, yeah. So for us, for example, even with our first generation home buyer loan program, so you have to use our first mortgage. And then if you're potentially eligible for our first generation home buyer loan, you could look at using that. That's up to $35,000, right? Yep. We also have our standard existing down payment and closing cost loan options. We've got three of them. For potentially a total of up to $18,000, we will allow our first gen and one of our existing down payment assistance and closing cost loans to layer together. That's up to $53,000.
That's a lot of money.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And beyond that, if you're purchasing in one of those communities where they do have some additional community mm-hmm. monies available, mm-hmm. we will also allow that to layer with that $53,000.
So it could be like a grant with a forgivable loan, like that can all be like stacked?
Yes.
Wow.
As long as the other community loan will allow it to layer with our programs,
okay.
We absolutely allow community layering. So yes.
Wow.
Yep.
That's really incredible.
I know. It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So the real estate, like as the real estate community, how can we better educate our clients about these programs and like all the other programs that exist that we don't know about?
Yeah. So I think we've touched on it a little bit. One thing I would highly recommend, and well, especially if you're going to use pretty much any of these kind of first-time buyer mm-hmm. programs, whether it's ours, whether it's another community's or another, you know, counties or another cities or the
or even
other
another
first
state
gen,
or something.
Yeah, or even in another state. Almost all of them require home buyer education.
Yep.
So that is a great place to start because that is full of really, really good information. And a lot of the home buyer education curriculum talks about some of these programs and the fact that there are resources available, and at least starts people to think about, oh, there might be something out there besides just my bank account mm-hmm. that, you know, could help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing to just really encourage the education piece of it.
Are those resources on your site?
Yes. We have a list of the home buyer education classes. We have a list of HUD approved counseling resources. So maybe you need a little more than education, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you need some help with budgeting. Maybe you need to do some credit repair and try to work on your credit a little bit. Maybe you need to go a little deeper with some of that stuff. Those counselors are available and their services are free.
Wow.
So
that's nice.
You know, if you're getting charged for it, you're probably not working with somebody who's in the nonprofit space, right?
Right.
So that's a great resource too. And we've got links to all of that stuff. The Homeownership Center of Minnesota is another great resource. They kind of oversee all the different, well, not all probably, but many of the different housing agencies and organizations around the state of Minnesota. They have a resource on their website where you can search for down payment assistance resources. You can put in like a property address of a location maybe where you're looking, and it'll pull up a list of all the different resources that are potentially available for that property based
wow.
on the address. So that's a great resource to use. And we have links to the Homeownership Center's page on our website.
You call it the Homeownership Center of Minnesota?
Yes. In their web address.
I've never heard of that before in my life. That is
really?
So awesome. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm learning stuff right now, Heidi.
I can give their web address.
Yeah, let's see that.
It's H as in home, O as in ownership, C as in center, MN for Minnesota.org.
Okay, that's a good one. You said it slow enough so everybody can grab a pen and write it down. Wow, this is blowing my mind. Okay, as a consumer, if you feel like this would be a good fit for you, you talked about some of these steps. So like you would suggest like going onto your website or going onto this Homeownership Center website and really just start poking around to be like, okay, I would like to live in X neighborhood. Like what resources do I have? And then do these resources help point you to the direction of a great loan officer if a buyer's listening to this podcast and they don't have one already? How does that work?
So I'm going to take that in kind of pieces.
Okay, perfect.
So if you're looking for kind of like if you have an area in mind where you want to live,
yep.
You're not going to probably get a lot of assistance on our website as far as because our website really just hosts our program information, right?
Okay.
So if you want to go see all the different resources that may be available where for that are kind of address specific, then I would go to the HOCMN.org website.
Okay.
And find their resource, their down payment assistance resource and do that. Use that locator.
Yeah.
With regard to finding a great loan officer, the Homeownership Center, sorry, we love our acronyms at Minnesota Housing,
yeah.
And it's
yep.
so easy to revert into acronyms. the Homeownership Center's website doesn't call out like different lenders.
Okay.
But you can find a lender directory on our website on the okay. Minnesota Housing MNHousing.gov website. You can find a lender, and our website lists the lenders that work with our programs who okay. have, you know, they're participating.
Yep.
They are participating with our programs. And then within that search of that lender directory, you can kind of narrow it down by location or by name if you know somebody specifically you're looking for,
okay.
if you have a particular bank or mortgage company that you think you might want to work with, you could do a search that way. So,
okay.
Yep.
Well, and you can just reach out to Christy and I here at the Bus Bench Babes. We've got a couple of lenders that we love that work with these programs too.
Yes.
So we can put you in touch with a rock star mortgage professional that will really like guide you and make sure you get the loan that is perfect fit for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, this has been really eye-opening and super helpful.
Awesome.
I like when I heard about like the layering thing, I'm like, it's so smart. I've only had a couple of clients do it in the last few years, but it's such a great way to get into a home.
Right.
And bring the cost down
yep.
and, you know, maybe layer a grant with a forgivable loan and holy cow, like people might not otherwise be able to even get into a home and then they're renting. And rents are just astronomical these days.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't bring this home enough. And I think you've touched on it quite a bit too. But that loan officer is so important.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you are working with, not every loan officer is going to take the extra time or steps needed to figure out how do I layer mm-hmm. 3 or 4 or 5 programs.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you need and that makes sense for you. So
mm-hmm.
again, just shouting out to all the great loan officers out there, and you want to make sure that you're working with one who is, you know, willing to really work with you.
Yeah.
And help you.
Yeah. I don't think people realize like how hard they work behind all the scenes to know like the ins and outs and the nuances of all these incredible programs.
Right.
Yeah. It's incredible. Well, Heidi, like, let's say all the websites again. So it's like,
okay,
go grab a piece of pen, you know, a piece of paper and a pen. And Heidi's going to go over all the websites again. So like, these are ones, like, if you're a realtor, you can have these in your back pocket and share them with your buyers. And if you're a buyer listening to this, like, you're going to want them too. So let's go through those couple websites again of like,
okay,
where to go for more info.
Yep. Should I say them really, really fast?
Yes, super fast.
Okay. So the Minnesota Housing website is mnhousing.gov. So G as in George, O, V as in Victor, like short for government, right? So mnhousing.gov. And that's where you can find our lender directory. You can find some information about our first generation home buy a loan program. Which, by the way, I forgot to mention, we are assuming everything goes well with technology over the weekend, which we all know that that can sometimes be iffy, but we're looking really, really good for an official launch on Monday. So this coming Monday, May 6th.
May 6th. Okay. Yes. This podcast episode is going to go out like the following week. So okay, it'll still be super fresh information.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And we will be also having web pages for the first generation on the consumer side. Web pages in Somali, Hmong, and Spanish as well.
Awesome. So, that's great.
Okay. And then I do want to, because of, I mentioned at the top of the broadcast that there are two separate first generation programs that are available from this legislative funding from 2023. And I'm going to give the website for the other program so that you can go check that out too. Because as I mentioned, there are some differences in how we are structured and some things like that. And theirs is called the First Generation Homebuyer Community Down Payment Assistance Fund. And their website is firstgendpa.org. And I will, so it's first, like FIRSTGEN, so short for generation, D as in dog, P as in Paul, A is an apple, .org. And it's all one word, firstgendpa.org.
Awesome.
So I would check that out as well.
Yeah.
And then the Minnesota Homeownership Center we talked about, and that's where you can find that resource list of the different down payment assistance programs. You can find the different housing counseling agencies, the HUD-approved counselors, all of those types of things.
Okay.
And that is hocmn.org.
Love it. So much awesome info, Heidi. I really appreciate this. So we're going to do your legal disclosure one more time. We need to keep her legal department, or the legal department with the state, happy.
Yes, they're going to be so happy that I said it at the end and at the beginning. All right. So, this is, I know, fun, but required. In connection with single-family division loan programs, Minnesota Housing does not make or arrange loans. It is neither an originator nor creditor and is not affiliated with any lender. The terms of any mortgage finance transactions conducted in connection with these programs, including important information such as loan fees, the annual percentage rate, repayment conditions, disclosures, and any other materials which are required to be provided to the consumer are the responsibility of the lender.
Voila. Legal department happy. Check that box.
Yes.
Well, Heidi, it's been a pleasure having you here. And it's so awesome to learn about all the things that Minnesota is doing to really encourage home ownership. And I couldn't be more happy to be able to serve so many more people with like programs like this. It's really incredible.
It's so exciting.
I know it is. It is super exciting. So thank you.
Thank
I know you got to go get a daughter off to prom tonight.
Yes,
so you've got a big prom day today. That's really exciting.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun. And I really hope people got some good information out of it.
Yeah. And it's so great to like just get the word out there. And then people can like reach out to their loan officer and, you know, really try to like dig deep and see how that this can benefit them in their journey on homeownership.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes.
Well, so until next time, bus bench babes, keep your face off a bus bench and keep being the badass boss babes that you are.
Okay, girls, are you feeling as inspired as we are? We're over here cheering you on because you just finished another episode of the Girl Get Your Face Off a Bus Bench podcast.
If you want more, head over to girlgetyourfaceoffabusbench.com for show notes and more episodes. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. They mean the world to us and they're what keep us going.
Girl, thanks for being here.